Wow. It's been wonderful listening, Brother Lin, talking about the history of God and how people with a depraved man, mind, earning and trying to do whatever they can to earn that position that has been lost. And throughout the history and Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the only one who possessed and heard from His Father that this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And then Brother Doug talk about every day we are not part of, either we are part of solution or we are part of problem. And it depends on us. And Bible gives us only two choices. Either play with the God, with God grounds, or play with enemy. So we have a choice every day to call upon Almighty God, who trained every army, who trained everybody. So let's call upon Him. As Jeremiah says in chapter 33, verse 3, he says, God is saying to me, call, talk to me, depend on me. When he was prisoned, he was standing before the people and the kings, and he was presenting the word of God. So he said, call me, and I will answer. And I will tell you the great and mighty things which you do not know, the hidden things. So let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal the faith and the truth and the exaltation that we needed in a due time to live, to be a godly, mighty, and victorious in perilous time. Father God, we come before You, depending on You, knowing that You are always there for us. No matter it's in a prison, no matter we are in garden, no matter we are in plane or in car, You are always there. In this moment, take my mind, my soul, my broken English, and communicate to Your people the message, the encouragement, the warning, exhortation, rebuke, whatever You please to do so to make us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me. And I ask all these things in the name of Your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who won the victory. Amen. Wow, perilous time. And that is true. Those perilous times have been started the day Jesus Christ born. And is going to be continually until He come back. As Doug was talking about, as Lynn was talking about, Satan, a big dealer, got a lot of things. He has insurance to sell to us every day. I can't express enough every day. Every day, whenever I talk and hear Satan, he's there with his agenda, with his thing, trying to put a price on me every day. And he's asking with demand, he's asking with threats, he's asking with polite thing, he's asking with every worldly thing and saying, what is your price? That is his role, and that is his demand, that is his occupation, asking Christians, what is your price? He put a price on Adam through his wife, and he sold out. He put a price on many other believers throughout the history. Many sold out. Jesus also was confronted or face to face with Satan in the wilderness, and he put the price on Jesus too. Matthew 4:4. Talk about. And he said, what you will take to bow to me, what you will take to recognize that I am the one that said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. The five I wills. So he's putting the price. And I can say that is an everyday battle. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have. When I'm in Pakistan, there's a price. How many wives you will take to denounce Christianity? What piece of land, what kind of things you will gain if you just say no to Jesus? So we are living in perilous time. And Paul is preparing his spiritual son. Just like Jeremiah in the prison, standing before God and warning his people, weeping, crying, encouraging, pleading, urging and saying, what is coming? And his time people said, you are fool. St. Paul is preparing his son, Timotheus, preparing him. He knew absolutely what is coming. He knew what he had been through. He knew what his son will face. That's why Paul says to him, in many passages he said, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefather did, as I constantly remember you in my prayer day and night. And then verse 5, he said, I am mindful of your sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lewis, and then your mother, and then now, surely in you. So he knew, and he's preparing him for the perilous time. And then next he says to him, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So as Jeremiah, looking forward, knew what is coming, but people was occupied with themselves. People was busy with their own business. Paul knew what is coming and he's preparing his spiritual son. And that is the purpose we are here, to be equipped, to be prepared, to be encouraged, to be aware what is coming. So perilous time is not time for welfare. It's a time for war. It's a time for war. It's a time for war, not for welfare. Just, you know, I'm good, I got food, and that is okay, and heck with the whole earth. So it's not the time. That's why he's preparing him. He's preparing him. So it's time for warfare, not time for welfare. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 talk about 3 and 5. Paul saying to the church of Corinth, he's saying, even though we walk in flesh, we are worldly people, we are fleshly people, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powered by the Almighty God, who is able to destroy the stronghold of enemies. So it's time for warfare, not for welfare. So we are living in perilous times. So every day, he's putting a price on you, and maybe he's talking to you in a different way, in his policy. What is your price? What you will take to walk away from the calling that God placed on you? And it is coming, and it is already here, and many have been sold out. Either in USA, or either in India or Pakistan or anywhere else. He's in the business of not an eternal insurance that is separated from God. But Jesus Christ also selling insurance. Believe in me, and you will have eternal life. Eternal life. So, Paul is preparing, instructing him, encouraging him, and giving him a warning for his spiritual son to be prepared for the spiritual warfare taking place right there. And he's saying to him, let no one look down on you. Your youthfulness, no one. No one. Do not be despised, do not be shamed, do not be hindered, do not anything let you stop. So he's talking, he's preparing his spiritual son, he's saying, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, you therefore, my son, strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only source of to equip us, to give us whatever it takes to go on his footsteps. So Paul is talking and Paul is preparing to fight the good fight, the false teaching, all the spiritual warfare, and he's just speaking and preparing him. And finally, he says to him, that's the passage that I've been preparing and working on. And I had a good visit with Pastor Gene in Arizona. So I was asking his advice and his idea, how should I prepare, what should I, you know, do with a text like this and study. So he gave me a good idea. So since that, I've been stuck in one verse, which is a good thing. That one verse leads me to 99 passages. I hope with a 90-minute class, I will not mention those 91 passages. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, he said, but realize this, that the purpose, what he said, realize, know this, that is absolutely necessary for you to know what is coming. That in the last day, difficult time will come. Difficult time will come. Often people say, it's dangerous, you're going in Pakistan. And sometimes my answer, it's been dangerous since Jesus born. And there's been war going on since Adam born. So what's the difference? Change your viewpoints. Change your mentality. And get on with Jesus Christ and he will make your journey awesome. So Paul is preparing him and he's preparing the churches like he's saying, time to fight, not to frighten. It's time to fight, not to frighten. Like often people saying to the military guy, before you go to take M16, you better be a master of 316. You better be a master of John 3:16 before you use M16. And we need to do that. We need to be a master of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that's why Paul talking to the church of Ephesians saying it's time to fight, not to fright, not to be scared, not to be, you know, frightened and sit back and say, have some wine. In his time, or I will say this time, have some blue moon and have your couch that make you, you know, food coma. Yeah, sit on your couch and pull the handle and you are gone. He's saying, it's time to fight, not to be afraid. That's why he says in Ephesians 6, 11 and 18, he talked about finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. His might will take us to do everything we need to do. As a believer, we need to recognize what business we have on this earth. It's always amazed me when Jesus took a demon out from the guy who was chained, who was under the force of demons in Matthew, in Luke, and in Mark. And the minute that demon recognized and spoke, and the demon said, Jesus, what business do you have with me? Demons recognizing and asking what business you have with me, but believers are not. Believers are saying, what do I have to do what I want to do to please myself? We should ask a question like demon asked, what business? And Jesus often referenced many, many places when people ask, and he said, like John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well, and his disciple was thinking, he already ate and did and did, that and that. So he said, I'm here to do my Father's business. So if we want to earn what Lynn was talking about, heritage, I often talk and think in my mind, my imagination, thank God he gave me good imagination. I imagine and I have imagination, I'm standing before his throne. I know I have all spiritual blessings, but what I'm going to offer as my heritage that I earn from my Father. So what kind of heritage we will have in heaven? So Paul said, finally strong and put on the armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the plans and schemes of devil. We need to put that every day. Nobody's going to put that on like I just did with this mic. I put it on and you can hear. I was not going to stand by and say, come on mic, put on me. No. I have to make the action. So in a perilous time, we are well equipped. I just learned this a new thing. Or I can say we are Christian like 007. We are Christian or Church of 007 in America. Well equipped, know everything, have done everything to equip ourselves. But we are secret. Secret agents of Jesus Christ, that God does not want from us to do. He wants us to be a 007, equipped and prepared and exhorted and everything, but He wants us to be a target. Not a secret target. So we are target of Satan and he wants to buy us. So what is your price? I've been offered a lot. A lot. So what is our price? That's why we need to recognize. Peter talked about godly living in a perilous time among ungodly people. 2 Peter 2:4-9. 2 Peter 2:4-9. And there's a wonderful example of a nephew of Abraham living in a city called Sodom and Gomorrah in that area. He did not sold out either. He did not. And verse 4 said, and if he rescue righteous Lot, who was, you know, facing all kind of unrighteousness, all kind of homosexual, every kind of, you know, evil that we ever can imagine. He was there, he was living among them, and he was not affected by them or formed to their pattern. Even there's a good thing when those three angels was in his home, the people who were there to take them to have sex and do whatever the brutal things they want to do, he said, phew, they view that he is living among us but not like us. So we need to be a godly living people in a perilous time under all kind of ungodly situation, just like Lot. He captured every day his heart. When Adam was attempted, when many others was attempted, they had a choice to make, to capture their heart or to sold out to enemy. So Lot made a choice. He did not sold his reward and himself. And in passages talk about that God is able to rescue the ungodly from godly from ungodly situation, and he was capturing every day his heart not to sold out to the enemy living in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities that were surrounded by. So Paul is preparing his son Timothy and saying, the danger of apostasy is coming. The danger is coming. Do you know that? Do you realize what is coming? The word realize, translated in the New American Standard and the New King James, but know this. The word know is used many times in the Bible. I can say about 224 times that word used in the New Testament. Greek Strong is 1097. Gnosis. To know, absolutely, to understand, recognize, completely, well aware of what is coming. So Paul is saying, but realize this, or but know this, before you know the purpose. But know this, that in the last day, difficult times, not a one-time incident, difficult times will come, it will be more and more. So we are living in a difficult time, and people have sold out to Satan instead of worshipping the living God. So Paul is focusing on his son Timothy and encouraging him, preparing him, what is coming. What is coming? And Doug already mentioned on Matthew 16:1-4, Pharisees and Sadducees attacking Jesus and asking for the signs, what is coming, what is happening, how it going to be end, what is the story, everything, attacking and testing him. He just told them. Let's see what it says there. Matthew chapter 16:1-4. He just told them that you are well educated, as well as so many believers are well educated and equipped. 16. Now he was also saying to the disciple, Luke. Luke 16:2 is good. I have a 1.5 hand, still work. God is able to use. He can use donkey. So he can use you and me. Matthew 16:1. The Pharisees and Sadducees come up and testing Jesus, they ask him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be storm today. And for the sky is red and thundering. Threatening. Do you know how to discern and appearance of sky, but cannot discern the signs of the time? A lot of believers, it's a sad story. It's all about believer. When believer, one believer or 10,000 believer, when they stand up, they will change history. They will change history. Jeremiah stand up and he was an effective servant of God for his time. Moses stand up and he did not sold up to all the treasures of Egypt. All the titles that he can have it as a prince, as all he knew. But he did not sold out according to Hebrews chapter 11 verses 23, 25, 26. There's a record about him that he did not sold out his heritage. He took all the curse, all the blame, everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. He knew that he is coming. So he is coming. He was coming back then, He is coming still, and He will be coming. So He said, you determine all the signs and you say this is going to happen according to the weather and you are a good weather, you know, people. But you don't make any action in connection. Like John chapter 5 verse 23. He's talking again to Pharisees and Sadducees and people who are well trained like 007. Church of 007. And Jesus talking and telling them, and verse 29. 5:29. Maybe he's talking about somewhere, chapter 5, as just the Hebrew writer says, you know, Paul often says, somewhere in the passage, somewhere. So somewhere Jesus was talking to Sadducees and Pharisees and he says, you read about me, you search about me, you do everything about me, but you do not believe. They knew a lot, but there was nothing that they want to do with what they knew. So we don't need to be a church of 007. We need to be a church of 007 in a positive way to be a target. And the good thing, target doesn't move. As a believer, we don't need to just, you know, have a self-pity party with what kind of, you know, things we want. When we are convicted, we will go to the store and get some good stuff and then, you know, sit back and relax and trying to patch up ourselves and get over our guilt, but we don't make any action. We don't need to do that. So, living life in an ungodly society as a godly person or people or woman or man of God. So Paul is preparing to him in this passage saying the apostasy, the danger, the difficult time is coming for you. So be prepared. Be prepared, and he's talking in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 in 2 Timothy, and he's saying, we realize this, in last days, a difficult time will come when man will be lover of themselves or their self. When people have that attitude, I learned a new saying. Those people who are just, you know, selfish, I learned this new thing, saying, the attitude is, me, 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 me. My name is Jimmy. My first name is Jimmy and my last name is Moore. Just give me, give me, give me. My first name is Jimmy and last name is Moore. That is the attitude of this character when Paul says, man will be lover of self, lover of money. Give me, give me, give me. My first name is Jimmy and last name is Moore. M-O-R-E, Moore. More and more. So, boastful, arrogant, and disobedient, all kind of, there's a 19 or 17 characters he's talking about. So, we are living in a perilous time, and it's a privilege and exciting times to be alive. So we need to discern, and not only to discern, but to make a connection and then live in a godless society as a godly people. As a godly people. So God is looking for people like He was looking in Old Testament. There's a passage that yesterday was pop in my mind when I saw the picture. This guy was standing on the wall. There's a passage in Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. And that's the passage talking about that God is looking. Jeremiah is there, but he's looking someone else. He's searching out among the nation. He's looking for someone that he can save. Just like in the incident when the Isaiah chapter 6, Josiah is standing before God and the angels, and the angels is singing and praising and saying, "Holy, holy, Almighty God." And then the question was, "Whom shall I send?" That's the question throughout the eternity is being spoken. Who will go? Who will call the answer? And that is what God is speaking over there. I'm searching among the people who will stand in the gap. In the gap. And the sad story, God did not find anyone. So he's looking. He's looking, he's calling throughout the scriptures. He was calling in Genesis, he was calling in Exodus, he was calling in Leviticus, he was calling in Matthew, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, I want you to fulfill the gap that has been empty." Jesus as a mediator, he fulfilled the gap for us, and he wants us to do the same, the gap. I often love the way Pastor Gene put Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek, to save which was lost. So he's the one who can save, but we have an obligation as a 007 to go and seek. We have to find out. He has the authority to save. We are the one who need to seek, to find out. So Isaiah called the answer and he said, "I will go." So dangerous is coming in America, or it's already here. So how we will answer, I don't know. What time I'm ending? 12:15? Wow, it's already there. So I have a question for everyone. It's a question for me, it's a question for everybody. One question. That question was asked by a coin man, Bert Coin Man from California. He said, "I have a question." I want to read his question, and then you fill the blank. "I would like to ask every seminary, every pastor, every believer, it is possible to truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and not have the compassion for the lost?" That's his question. That's his question. And after that he's saying, "You fill the blank." Every seminary, every believer, he wants to ask one question. If we are truly in love with Jesus Christ, but we do not have the compassion for the lost, there's something wrong. There's already difficult times that is born in our soul. There's already the difficulty in our spiritual walk that we already create that wall not to move forward. So, that's the quote was long ago quoted by Pastor Gene, "The Course of Nations." We need to find out where we are. Whether it's the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 to 7, all about if you overcome, I will give you whatever I have promised. So the course of nations, people go from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. Big word. But you got the meaning. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependent, and from dependent back to into bondage. So where we are? Same question Doug asked. Not to ask your neighbor, ask yourself where we are in the business of Jesus Christ. Where we are standing, are we fulfilling the gap that is God is looking and searching and saying, I will use you. If you are discouraged this morning or this week or past few weeks and whole year, God called Jeremiah and he used him. God called Moses and he used him. God found Gideon when he was having his cereal in an easy way, the simple English that my translation, his cereal or his breakfast. He said, raise up, mighty man, I will use you. You are nothing, I will make you somebody. So, it's a good thing to recognize we are nobody, but we know somebody who wants everybody to know about him, and his business is to save everybody. So we are in the business of saving people in perilous time. We have the message. We don't have any capacity to save anyone. We have the message that can save. So that was the quote, and my prayer continue for our nation, especially for believers. I'm not praying for rapture to take place. I'm not. I'm praying that God, what you call me to do, to finish. So when I stand before you, I want to hear that word, that statement, well done. Well done, my faithful slave, servant, fellow reaper, believer, my son, my friend. I want to hear that statement. So what is your price? And what is my price? That is every day the paper that Satan has. Tap, tap, tap. Hi, my name is Angel. I have a good insurance for you, life insurance. Would you like to buy it? Just like God says to Cain, the Satan, the sin is sitting outside knocking on your door. Either you call to him, or according to Revelation chapter 3, verse I think 20, I'm knocking on the door. And whoever hear me will open the door and I will have a fellowship. So there's a two knocking going on, one from Satan, one from Jesus Christ. So which one we will call daily? And we need to call one of them. And that is a choice between us and God. So we are living in a perilous time and difficult times, difficult days. I think my time is done, right? I'm in America, but I'm not still punctuous. I came from the other side. There's a 12 hours ahead or behind, but thank God, I'm learning. So the challenge for us is daily calling on Jesus. Are we fulfilling that gap? Are we fulfilling that emptiness that can change many lives? We have the message. We have the book. We have the book that is called Divine Revelation. We will talk about in the next hour, about in the days we are living, and then also talk about the plumb line. The plumb line that has been forsaken in so many lives, and that's why they don't have a standard. The plumb line is the standard of God that He wants everybody to have. So let's pray and get ready for next hour. Father God, thank you so much. You use whatever I say and 45 minutes, even nothing, to talk about you. It will take many moons and many decades and millions and trillions of years, even more than three times the debt that have in America, the number I even can't recall. It will take so trillion, billion, and whatever the figure there will be not enough to talk about your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, that you are not done, that you are not giving up on us. You are continually blessing us and encouraging us. So thank you for your word, and bless us all in Christ's name. Amen. And it was about maybe 700 times was mentioned. And mostly Paul, instead, you know, he or him, most of the time he used the name of Jesus Christ or Lord. And I was just thinking why he want to use directly his name. And I believe it's very important. It was important back then that he's talking about his Lord and Savior with the identification that Jesus, Son of David, who born by virgin and came and died and rose again and is coming back. So name of Jesus is very important. Even today, the funniest thing and sad thing, every time when I'm in airport area, 7-Eleven, anywhere, or even in the bathroom, the big bathrooms, there's 20 dudes standing and, you know, doing their business. So,
thank you for that.
And you talk about Jesus and mention Jesus often. It just opens the door, somebody will say, thank you for mentioning his name. But most of the time, it is a threat to people. It is a threat and it is a dangerous indication to people saying, wow, I can't believe he mentioned his name. So don't be surprised and don't be afraid mentioning his name. And it is important to Matthew, important to Luke, John, and Paul to mention his name, Jesus. And that's what I've been training and encouraging people in Pakistan. Mention his name. When you say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the demon God. Not the God called in their understanding Allah. I said, make a direct reference that this is the divided land that let you know, and the people who are hearing, which God you follow. So, that's just a pop thing as a popcorn, pop in my mind, mention his name Jesus. Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior. It is very important. And you will see the real color of people around you. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time with wonderful food and also the food that he's given to us. So we can eat according to Jeremiah 15:16. I found his word and I ate it. And it was a delight to my soul. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege that you've given all of us. Or with the southern language, you have given us y'all, all, a wonderful privilege and the blessings to be known by you and with a great responsibility to do the finish, or do the work that you have called us to do. So bless our time together, and I'm looking forward to continue to listen to you and follow you. Thank you, Father, for the great witness of clouds. Many, many witnesses. People like Pastor Gene, Lynn, Bug, Bob, and Doug, and Ricky, and Jesse, and Terry, and many others. I'm skipping their names. You know them. Ladies like Nan, Carrie, Bree, Anne. This time I'll be good, Father. I didn't say Anne instead Nan, and Nan instead Anne. So thank you. So bless our time together. And for all the blessing that you have given us, let us dwell on the things that you have imputed to us with a great high calling, with a great price that your Son paid for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Wow, great time, excited time to live in the USA. As Doug was talking about, one nation was chosen and blessed by God, the children of Israel. And I often talk about, tell people the second nation, not the chosen one, but the blessed nation, USA, with awesome, awesome privileges. And I remember the lesson, the simplest lesson I learned from Pastor Gene. With every privilege come responsibility. And with every responsibility come accountability. So, who have given much required also very much too. So, God bless America, have mercy on America, and we need to pray for our nation as we never before. And the perilous time, all the trials and whatever comes on any nation, there's a two choices throughout the history. Choose God, or according to Psalms 14:1, say no to God, that He is not exist. So, we need to pray for our nation. And we are the player by God to play and be partaker in the divine work and the divine surgeries going to take place and continually in the souls of man in Pakistan, in the United States, in many other countries. So, there's nothing new under the sun. What has happened before is going to happen now and to follow. So Paul is telling his spiritual son, Timotheus, and he's saying, realize, know this, this is a fact, this is a reality, this is already observed, this is already I've been through, this is the one I have experienced, that I've been shut down, I've been accused, I've been put into jail, that's why I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Realize this, in the last day, difficult times will come, and man will be, you know, lover of money, lover of self, boastful, arrogant, and all kind of, you know, characters are mentioned here, and they are big words. I don't want to ruin your meal. And you can read first verse to nine verses, and he's talking about that. And then next passage, he's talking about for protection from these all characters and all the things that is going to exist in his time and today, and if we go home after us. People are selfish, people are self-absorbed, people are just focusing on me, me, me. So, he said, follow my example. That's a wonderful statement come over and over in the mouth of Apostle Paul. He says, follow my example, verse 10. Now you, after he mentioning the realizing and difficult times and the days, he says, follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and suffering, and such as happened to me in Antioch. You know the word. The big word. And he's saying, follow me. And the next passage, after he explaining, before he give him a charge, before he command him, before he encourage him to, you know, do anything, he's doing the preparation. Just like before the surgery, you need to have some kind of, you know, medicine to make you numb or realize that you are going to be in the hand of somebody who knows better. When doctor was sewing my arm after the accident, he said, don't look. I said, I want to look. I want to see how deep it is. So he gave me the medicine and I knew what's going on, but I knew that I'm in a better hand who have a PhD or DDD or whatever after his name. So he's doing his job. So Paul knew he's a master, he's a wonderful follower, that's why he's saying, follow me. So verse 14, he said, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convicted to, knowing from whom you have learned them. Before he gave the chapter 3 verse 14 and then 15, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the secret writing which are able to give you the wisdom that lead you salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that if you go through that course, then the purpose of this all, what I'm speaking, man of God may be equipped for every good work. First he said, realize this. Then he tell him, you know, the perilous time comes, so follow my example. And then he said, remember what you have learned from your childhood. Remember. I'm grateful for Pastor Gene and his love and his teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. That's been a good example to me. I was known in Pakistan a preacher of insecurity. After listening to him in Pakistan under 150 degrees, I started preaching and I became a preacher of eternal security. So Paul is preparing him. He said, you know, remember those things that you have learned from your childhood. And here he's bringing the thing that I titled, or God the Holy Spirit helped me to title, Plumb Line. Ricky knows, Brother Terry knows, and whoever is, Jesse's there too. They are in construction, they know. Here probably it is the latest, what is called that, the water or laser, you know, the thing, what is called that? That you measure the wall and everything?
Level.
The level they use to see, you know, if the wall is crooked or not. So plumb line is used in the Bible. It's a very simple tool, but accurate to measure, to determine whether whatever is being built is correctly built or is incorrect. It's rightly or precisely. That's the plumb line God is using with His household in the Old Testament throughout the whole 4,000 years to build them up. And I think same desire God have for us in Jesus Christ to build us up correctly, precisely, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. Take a good example of me because my example is not crooked. My example is straight, and that's why he tell Paul, rightly dividing the word of God. Paul had his plumb line, his theological training in somewhere in desert and throughout his whole ministry to learn and observe and hear him. Him, his name is Jesus. So plumb line, very ancient but very accurate. And it's a symbolic to today and back then, according to Bible, a divine standard, which is God's standard, not our standard. Our standard is according to Isaiah. Our righteousness is filthy like, the word is big, you know, like a dirty rag. Our righteousness is like that, which means our standard is not good enough compared to the God's standard. So this hour I want to talk about God's standard. So Paul is preparing him for the God standard, and he said, you learn whatever throughout your childhood. Now it's time to recall. Now it is time to, you know, hold on to and stand firm on to. And he said, all scripture is inspired by God. Every bit of every story I have told you or you've been listening throughout your childhood, it's from God. It is profitable for your soul. It is a good for teaching. It is a good for reproof. It is a good for correction and for training in righteousness and right standard that is only set by God. So our plumb line is the Word of God. If we don't compare whatever is going around us, in us, according to the plumb line that God gave us, the Bible, there will be chaos. Happened long ago, happened in the time of Jesus, and happening now, and it will happen again. Time to time, like one moon ago or 100 moons ago, whoever does not use the plumb line, which is a true standard of God, we must live by in a perilous time. So he said, chapter 4, verse 1, after he explaining, saying everything, the purpose so that the man of God may be equipped and ready and do whatever God called to do. And that's the purpose we are designed. I solemnly charge you in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful way. I'm not solemnly charging you by the Roman Empire, not by the Greek God, not by any other myth. I'm charging you with the name that is given on earth and heaven, and that's the only name that deliver people and give authority. Remember John 1:12? Whoever, how many have believed or received Jesus Christ, God has given them authority to become His children. Believe Him, Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ we got charged. So Paul is saying, I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by His appearing when He's going to come, and His kingdom. Here you go, that's your charge, that is your goal, that is your, you know, now you have John 3:16 down, here's your M16, ready to go for battle. Preach the word. Put the plumb line of God and compare with that. First yourself. And when we compare ourselves, our self is unrighteous. And when we claim His righteousness by believing in Jesus Christ, we are ready to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. We've been teaching. America been preaching. America been sending so many missionaries throughout the whole global. Now God is sending from many other places that God have sent people, and He's sending back and saying, what you did 10 years, 20 years ago, I'm bringing back to remind you, I'm not through with you, America. I'm not done with you, America. I bless you. And I want to continue to bless because I'm faithful. No matter how filthy and dirty you get, I will be there to shower you with the grace of my Son. So be ready in season and out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with a great patience and instruction. For the time will come, again, what he already mentioned. Time is coming, he said, as a reference, for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not have a guts to stand with the plumb line that God has given to us. Those people who are, back then he's mentioning, selfish, all the big, big words that he used for them. So, but wanting to have their ears tickled. When I have a tickling in my ears, I just tickle and tickle, and no matter what important thing Carrie is saying to me, I don't pay attention. I'm just tickled. I'm just tickled. It goes this way and come this way. So he said, you know, these people will be desiring, wanting to, you know, their ears tickled, which is whatever they hear, don't care. But he's, in other hand, saying, you listen. The minute you believe in Jesus, you punch your ear to say, I am a servant of His, the Most High. They will be accumulate. Yeah. Thank you, Anne. She helped me with that word. Accumulate for themselves teaching in accordance to their own desire. And they will run away. And they will run away their ears from truth and will turn aside to myth. The things like, you know, like heresies and a different story that made. Like I met one lady in an aeroplane and she was a Mormon from the Latter-day Church. And she said, Joseph had found this golden plate. And there was a passage, there was a revelation, and now we are following him and this and this. That's myth. Man-made stuff. And I asked, I said, you know, I was playing a dumb game with her and I asking questions. I want to know about your religion. Yeah, okay. She was excited, probably she was thinking she's going to convert me. So I said, oh, okay. So I asked question and I said, you know, what is the requirement to be a Mormon and a priest or apostle or prophet in that circle? There was a big doo-doo list, you know, according to God. Standard plumb line, it is a filthy rag. Paul talked about skubala. He was mentioning his doo-doo list. Philippians 3 verses about 5 to all the way, and then after mentioning his whole thing, the one thing he said, I want to know him. Compare his doo-doo list with the righteousness of our standard of God, boom, boom, he was not qualified. So she was telling me the whole doo-doo list, and I said, okay, in my mind, I'm qualified for that, I'm honest. I can read my Bible and I can overqualify not to pay 10%, I will pay 35% to be righteous before Joseph Smith or whatever his name. So anyway, she was explaining and I start questioning. I say, if I don't do all the list you told me, what will happen to me? I don't know, but I don't know the place. I said, that's a big deception. So I start telling us, you know, which religions, what I have been and what I've been learning and where I came and how I make the decision that Christianity is the only most awesome relationship that leads to God through Jesus Christ and there's no confusion. I said, when I made a decision to become a believer, I was in Hinduism, in Islam, in Buddhism, the fat cow who tells people to discipline themselves and he have a no self-control and is like, milkmaid. You got the picture. I'm talking about Buddha. So, where I was, that was from somebody. So I said, what will happen to me? And she did not know. So I explained, the minute anybody believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, no matter, in 1 second or 10 minutes or 10 years, if he or she die, they will be face to face with Jesus, called the presence of God. And the other place you are hesitating not to call, Bible says, hell. Separation from God. So, and I asked a question upon question, and then she was having a hard time. So, the point, the myth. So I just want to encourage you, and we know that, the bottom line, the Word of God, Bible is not a systematic test, thesis on theology, or philosophy, or moral, or any history that is written. It is a divine plumb line that teaches us about the fall of man, teaches about the way of salvation, and the plan of God that is for the ages. And there's a simple way we can put the Bible. Bible talks about the four persons. Father, God the Father, Son, Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, Holy Spirit, and Satan. And then three places, heaven, earth, and hell. And then three classical people, three class of people. And Jew, Gentile, and the Church of God. And God wants to bless those who want to believe in Jesus Christ. So myth, Bible is not a myth. Bible is not a philosophy, is not an idea of a wise man. It is a divine revelation of God given to us to follow, to understand His standard. So in perilous time, when apostasy, big word, quote from Schofield, he gave a summary of apostasy, falling away. It is the act of professing Christian who deliberately or willfully reject the revealed truth, which I call the plumb line. When any believer deny the word of God, apostasy will come. The rejection, the neglection, and everything will follow. So that's why we need to go back to the standard. We don't need to follow the man-made doctrines and idea. We need to follow what Paul is saying here. From the childhood, you have the secret writing that will make you able to give you wisdom. If we want to be wise, this is the book of wisdom that lead us and guide us and direct us. So that's the question that was asked. Somebody, and I asked myself and asked by many, what do I do with the Bible? What do I do with the Bible? People always ask, how shall I read my Bible? What is the best method? There is no shortcut. There's no royal road. There's no magical method to read Bible. It's a simple way. Read the Bible over and over again. That was the other best thing I learned from Pastor Gene. Read your Bible over and over, over and over. And the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it will speak to you. No matter if you have a Bible in your bathroom, in your bedroom, or on your roof. Not too many roofs here people sleep on. In Pakistan, we sleep on the roof. So, and I want to suggest, read it slowly, carefully, prayerfully, in a large portion, repeatedly, and respectively, with a willing spirit to follow the precept of God. And there are some passages if you guys want to jot down before time run out. I have a good record to run over time Oh, you know my point. I use a lot of time. So some passages. What should I do with my Bible? I always remember what is written. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Meditate on what God has given. That was the key of every success that King, what is his name, Joshua, have on the field. To face the giant, whatever was coming in his way, he remember always what is written. That was the reference what God had done with Moses through all the Egypt history, that he was faithful to them. We need to remember that. We often quote scriptures, but we lost the power when we don't believe. That's why the word of God not become alive, because we don't believe what we just read or quote. We often say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. When trouble hit the fan, that's a good way God the Holy Spirit work. When trouble hits the fan and all goes in a ditch, and then we say, God is not real. Why this happened to me? Why I'm going through this? Why this nation is going down? Why there's so much going on? Why people have denied? One thing, they have denied the plumb line, the standard, the word of God. God will prosper Pakistan if they depend on the word of God. God will also continue to bless the United States. You and me continue if we depend on the word of God. Whatever it's been written, believe it. It is written and it is true. So Paul, the first suggestion is always remember what is written. Joshua 1:8. Treasure it. Treasure it. When you are going to taken or myself taken to prison, they are not going to be a little nice and say, okay, what kind of coffee you drink? And yeah, in our prison we have fast food. Would you like to order some? Did you bring your credit card with you? No. They are going to be brutal, so we have to treasure the word of God. Job 23 verse 12, Psalms 119 verse 11, I have treasured your word more than my daily food. So, number 3, read it. Read it. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 8. Number 4, eat it. Eat the word of God. As we were having a wonderful sandwiches with mustard and ketchup, and it was yummy, and we were delighting it. So Jeremiah, he's in his time, he's in trouble, he knows everything going on. It's very troubling and hard when you know too much. Pastor Gene sees that in the scriptures, Paul sees that in the scripture, you guys see that in the scriptures, I see that in the scriptures. It is so hard when you know too much. What is going to happen? But the good thing, with knowing too much, you know the end. The end of story, Jesus will be reigning for many, 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 many decades. So eat. Jeremiah 15:16. This part is suggested not only merely to taste, but accurately eat and live by. Come to me. Isaiah 48:16. Come near to me and listen to me. That's what God's saying. Number 6, believe it. Whenever you read your Bible, believe it. Romans 10:8. It is the word of faith. Whatever we hear, we gain our faith because it's the word of God. Number 7, receive it. James 1:21. Take the word of God into our heart and then receive it. That is a word of God, not a myth, not a philosophical idea. Okay. taste it. Hebrews chapter 6, 5, for it is the good word of God. Taste. Everybody have a taste. Last night I was studying up to 1 o'clock and she said, are you hungry? I said, yes. So she gave me frozen pizza and set up the alarm and everything. I put it and took me over 1 hour to figure out how to, you know, restart the oven, the smart oven. So tasted, and I was just, you know, having a taste bud for pizza. 1 o'clock, everybody sleeping, and I said, okay, if anybody wake up and smell pizza, I will say, come on, have a pizza party. So, tasted, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, as the word of God, good word of God. Hold it fast. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it is a faithful word. All promises are true. All its histories are true. And every precept is dependable because it's given by a God who is able. And his all statements are true. If he said, I am, it means I am. If he said, I am faithful, it means faithful. If he said, I will not leave you, it means that's exactly what he said. He don't change his mind like our political leader does. Oh no, I had made a statement by our president, and then later on he have a ghostwriter and then change the statement and paraphrase. No, I wasn't mean that. Doesn't work with Jesus Christ. Whatever he say, it is true. So hold it fast. Number 10. Hold it forth. Philippians chapter 2 verse 16. Because it is the word of life. Hold it fast and hold it forth. Preach it. We just read 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Ready be. Ready in season and out of season. And search it. That's the passage I was saying somewhere. Search it. John 5:29. You will seek me and find me when you search for me. And Jesus was saying, you search for me, but you don't believe what you read about me because you're not applying the plumb line that I have given to you. Study it. 2 Timothy chapter 15, which is right here. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. A workman. If you want to earn God's favor, He have a calling us to do something that is His work. As a workman who does not need to be shamed, accurately handling the word of truth, the rightly, precisely, and accurately using the plumb line. That's what he's saying to. Timothy, you use. That's what he's saying to me. Pastor, you use. So study it. Submission to the Word of God. Meditate on it, the Word of God. Psalms 1 verse 2. Consider the Word of God over and over in your mind until the truth feeds your soul. That is the definition of meditation. Continue to meditate on until your soul is filled with the richness of God. And number 15, compare it. 2 Corinthians 2:13. This is a divine commentary always in hand. Spirit compare with spirit. Flesh, spirit, flesh goes with the flesh, and spirit goes with the spirit. And rightly divided. So that is the plumb line we need to remember. We need to take that into our soul every day. And it's not a myth. It is a divine revelation. And there are so many titles for the Word of God. It is a light. It is a sweet aroma. It is a honey. It is a worth more than 100 cattle in the California hell. It is worth. So, Paul is preparing his son Timothy. The worst time is coming, the difficult time is coming, and it is a warning for all. Our duty as a minister, the follower, listener, pursuer, or whoever our calling is, or simply children of God, our calling to foresee and take notice the dangers and the apostasy coming into our own souls and our own communities. That is the duty of every believer, to examine and look around what is the danger that is coming, which is coming into the churches. And it's wonderful in a nutshell. In Old Testament, Satan wanna do something and create chaos. He's after God's people. He's not after his own people. And whenever he destroys God's people, nations go down. Cities are full of chaos. Like Jeremiah was looking at the whole city, he said, how beautifully you were filled with people, but now you sit alone like you are widow. Because he taken all the young people. He was saying your young people was like a ruby and all the precious stones. Now they are like a filth and they are like a scubala or dung. So, Satan's are not after those who are in a bar and saying, let's have a party. He knows that he already got them. He's after God's people. He's after you. You are a big target. So he's putting a price on you. What do you want? I will give it to you. Just the same price he was giving to Jesus Christ. So, I was talking to Ricky and I said, do you talk to Satan? And I said, I do. Because when he's offering through my flesh, through the worldly people, he's offering. And we are talking to his demons and listening his idea. So, what we do? I said, I listen his idea and compare his deal with Jesus Christ who have eternal insurance for me. And it's compared to Jesus. It is nothing. It is a scubala. It is a completely waste of time to follow or listen to him. So it's the duty of every minister to see and take notice to be prepared for what is coming. Just like Paul was preparing his son. Second thing, it is a great concern of all professing and believers to have their heart very much mixed upon the present approaching dangers. We don't need to be confused. Our God is not God of confusion. He is a God of peace. If we have peace with Him, then we are able to bring the peace of, the message of peace. So, difficult time is coming and then He's preparing for the day. So this is the last thing I wanna finish. I think my time is almost done. Okay, last thing. Dessert. We've been eating barbecue. Dessert time. And Paul says, realize this in the last days. Difficult times come. There's a many way Bible explain days. Day which is less than 24 hours, John 11:9. Day of birth, Job 3:1. Day of death, Genesis 27:2. 6 day and the seventh day, Exodus 31:15. So there's a lot of days. The day of salvation is a point in a time when any individual believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is a reference to the moment of faith in Christ. So there's a one day then people believe it's called the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Acts 16:31. Then the day of Christ, it is the reference to the rapture of church, which will be immediately or in the blinking of your eyes. or twinkling your eyes. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52, Philippians chapter 1 verse 10, and Philippians chapter 2 verse 16. That is reference to the day of Christ. And the day of wrath, it is the white great throne judgment, great white throne judgment, which is defined as the day of wrath in Romans chapter 2 verse 1. That will be the moment when unbeliever is going to judge by Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire, the second death, the day of wrath. And then there's a day of atonement, announcement, the recompense, the second Corinthians, when God is going to, Jesus is going to give a reward to everybody. Reference to the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:13, and it will be judgment for the church age believer, for the all human filth they were carrying on throughout their whole life. So reference 2 Corinthians 5:10. And the day of redemption, reference to the believer in eternity in a resurrection body, Philippians 4:30. That we are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And day of the Lord. So there's a many day of the Lord. There's a Acts chapter 20, or chapter 2 verse 20, and many other passages, but I want to end with this yellow dessert, banana pudding. Yeah, we ran out of paper, so I have a yellow paper. Those yellow papers remind me of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So each day in the Bible have a holy and a significant meaning. And sometimes there's a mysterious things behind the days. So I'm not going to pronounce those three Hebrew words. Yom of, brother help me, first one is a T-E-R-U-A, Terah. Yom of Terah means alarm, sign, sound of trumpet. According to Bible, Leviticus chapter 23 verse 25, 23, chapter 23 verse 23 to 25. Again, Lord spoke to Moses and saying, speak to the sons of Israel saying, I am. In the seventh month of the first month, you shall rest and remember by blowing of the trumpet. So the blowing of trumpet, it is a reference that God is calling His people to stop. That's the day was the day of blowing trumpet. When that big thing was blowing, oh, I think I did my job. And everybody stop. Everybody stop, and they are going to do to get ready to meet the Lord at the day of judgment, where people examine their life for sin and for 10 days to make a peace with whom they have hurt or broke promises. It is the time to cast away sin. The symbol, cast away our sin into the river, come from Micah chapter 7. That's the tradition they follow. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says, it is the time to cast away sin. The symbolic idea is still carry on. He will have a compassion on us, and He will trade our iniquity or sins under feet. Yes, you will cast all their sin into the deep of the sea. So that day simply is a day to stop. The next day is Yom Kippur. And Hebrew Strong is 337:25. Yom Kippur, atonement. Atonement that God is covering. And that is the day of atonement, which God calls people to repent and come to His presence to be washed and forgiven. Yom Kippur is a solemn day for prayer, and Yom Kippur is the Sabbath of Sabbath, holy of holy, of the holy day of the year. The Yom Kippur is the day to seek forgiveness for the oath, the promises was broken between God and man. So, it's the day of repent, to change your mind and change your mind, change your direction, and that day was so significantly celebrated in human and in Jewish culture, still doing that. It's a pledge between man and God and between each other. Yom Kippur, the food, all sexual relationship, washing, wearing, leather shoes, all kind of colognes, all kind of things they were wearing traditionally, they avoid. They completely, like, you know, there's no happiness, it's just, you know, reminder to repent. And that's the reference, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 to 32, that is the day called the Day of Atonement. And the last one is Shukot. Shukot, the day, the Shukot, there's no day, it's called Shukot. The Feast of the Tabernacle, that's the day, also known in Bible, the Feast of the Booths, B-O-O-T-H-E, T-S, the Booths. The great day of celebration which God's people be thankful and rejoicing for His blessing that they look back and just, you know, enjoy, rejoice. So long story short, these 3 days, each feast, it's described by one word. Stop, repent, rejoice. And if we put all these things together, stop, repent, and rejoice, we have a wonderful message. That's what happened in the history, and Pastor Gene was telling me about, it was a yesterday Hebrew Sabbath. It was a yesterday Hebrew Sabbath, the new year, or the year, the first day there in June. Rosh Hashanah. Also the other way they call Rosh Hashanah. I'm learning from my good teacher. So, America need to stop. Stop and be on their knee. And when I'm saying America, I'm not talking about other 30, 40 million people. We are all American. We need to stop. And whenever the stop, stop means sit down on your knee. However you wanna devote yourself to God and come into your in His presence. Like Nehemiah come behalf of His people and he was crying, he was fasting, he was confessing His people's sin. We need to be like Moses. God, do not destroy my nation. I'm willingly saying, you take my name from the book of life, just like Paul was saying for his kinsmen. Romans chapter 2. I'm so zealous, I'm so devoted, and I'm willingly to even forsake myself for my kinsmen. So we need to stop and be on our knee for behalf of the United States of America. Pray for your country. Repent. Recognize our God is awesome God. Without Him, we are nothing. John chapter 15. We cannot do nothing without the main source of life. So repent. Change our mind. And rejoice. Rejoice will never happen until people stop and repent. That's why God wants us to rejoice, but we only really rejoice when we repent. And repentance only comes when we realize that we cannot do anything without Him. We need to stop and recognize. Recognize God has blessed us so much, so we don't need to live like 007 agent. We need to be a 007 agent as a target, as a ambassador, as a representative of Jesus Christ, as a voice of Jesus Christ, as a His follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To live for Him. So, rejoice. Real happiness will come from the one who said, I am able to give you all peace the world cannot offer. So let's pray for America. And my America and your America. It's right here. Wherever I go, if you are thinking and precisely, you know what who you are. And I forgot the quote often, Gary Houghton says, what will be America if everybody like me? So can we say that? What without you and me, America will miss? If we go in other country, what kind of damage we can make without, you know, knowing? We can injure the eternity without knowing. So, we don't have too much time, and let's pray for America, and also if you can, I know. Thank you very much for you all, for your prayers. Your prayer is effective. That's the other thing, so much, so many times, it is just, you know, forsaken in churches of America and many other parts. When we pray and God answers, we don't rejoice. We are answer of your prayer came from that car ship, not a van wreck. So, your prayer is matter to God and matter to each other. In Bible, we are more time commanded by Paul and by Jesus to pray and encourage one another than to judge one another. Maybe a couple of times we judge, and Jesus said, do not judge, so you will be judged. So let's pray. And we are preparing for Pakistan, hot zone. And we know our God is able to deliver. He had opened the door for us to go in upcoming months. So we need your prayer. And I believe by God's grace, if it's possible, I will be back in one piece with my princess. If it's not, see you out there, and I will be looking down, saying, come on, buddy, why you are just having fun with your, you know, chewing stuff, having your chewing and just, you know, relaxing and just, you know, sitting by the TV and just, you know, growling and just, you know, looking at the TV saying, I wish I was in the field and make that goal. If you want to do that, come on, get on the field. Don't just sit by the TV and have your chewing and have your beer and just say, oh, I wish I was a team people. Where did that come from? So, if I'm in heaven with Jesus Christ, man, I'm looking forward. I will be rich more than anybody. I will be happy like I own Arizona. From heaven looking at everybody. Yeah, go buddy, go. So, let's pray. So we need to. Paul says, finally, what is true, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is respectful, whatever is right, whatever is exalted by God, whatever is considered righteous, whatever is noble, royal, dwell on these things that you have seen in me. Father God, thank you so much. This moment I want to lift up the blessed nation, the second blessed nation, first chosen one, your own land that you bless. You said, whoever bless my people, I will bless them. So Father, I pray that the United States of America will not walk away the river of blessing by denying your people. I pray, Father, for all the people, and especially, Father, for the gathering to your majestic one, your warrior, your people, Father. Give us a heart, give us a burden like Paul had, like David had, like many others have for their own people. Give a heart to understand, ear to hear, and a sense of urgency to have a compassion for the lost. I pray, Father, for United States of America. You have blessed them, have mercy on. And I pray for every warrior who is just not like, you know, sitting and watching TV and want to get into war zone. Father, those are real and those are serious and you know their heart. Open the door of those warriors to take the wicked for your God's people, for your people's sake. Father, use us all. Continue to guide us and lead us and delight us through your word. And thank you, Father, you know our needs. And you know that we need you. Without you, we are nothing. I'm looking forward to hear what your servant been blessed by your spirit to bring forth. Thank you, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for listening, and we will be leaving soon for Pakistan, and just keep us in your prayers.